UCB New York, make some noise and welcome to the stage, Not In My Backyard.
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse, but not in my backyard.
Sorry, hey, love to get through that cool music.
To Not In My Backyard, I'm Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist. We are comedians here at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. We'll tell you right now, we're also married.
That's right.
It will come up in the show, so just know we are married.
We met at this theater 20 years ago, and we are love this theater, and we love local politics. And I should note that I am a member of the Transportation Planning Committee of the Manhattan Community Board 4, but my views tonight... Thank you. But my views tonight do not necessarily reflect those of the entire board.
Yeah, and I should let everyone know that I am an elected member of the Community Education Council for District 2. But just to let you know, my opinions here tonight will not reflect the opinions necessarily of the Community Education Council District 2.
So this show is Not In My Backyard. We do it every month here at the UCB Theater. It's also a podcast, so you can listen to it if you want to enjoy the show a second time. But subscribe to the podcast. This is the show where we debate all the local issues that are causing drama in neighborhood Facebook groups. So
we go on Facebook so you don't have to.
Talk about things like dog poop, outdoor dining, rats, congestion pricing. But tonight, we have a very special show, Cody. It is Oops! All Transportation Topics.
To be fair, you do bring up a lot of transportation topics in our normal show, but this one he gets to take all of the other ones out, and it's all transportation.
That's right. The show is usually 40% transportation topics. But this month we're very excited that we're partnered with the Writers Alliance for this show. Give it up for the Writers Alliance. So I want to say that Transit Allies, who are Writers Alliance's monthly donors, got in free tonight, and they get in free to fund events every single month. So who in the audience is a Transit Ally? We got some allies. Okay, awesome. Welcome. Everyone else, you can visit the Writers Alliance website to join and become an ally.
Yeah, please do.
Before we bring out our amazing panelists tonight for our discussion, we're going to do a little pop quiz with the audience. We've got a couple of questions for you guys.
And you guys are smart. I can tell, I can see you guys are going to be on game and on point for this.
Okay, anybody can shout out the answer to this question.
Yeah.
What company was caught the most number of times on camera blocking bus lanes in 2025?
I heard Amazon. NYPD, I hear that.
UPS, I heard. UPS, a couple people said UPS is correct. Amazon was number two. Bonus question, without going over, although it's an estimate, how many times was UPS caught blocking bus lanes last year?
200,000.
5,000.
293,000.
Wow, we must see it a lot. You guys are like, they're literally always in the
80,000.
52,000.
A billion. Okay, Price is Right rules. Who said 5,000? 5,000. It was 25,000.
That's still a lot.
But I
it's
didn't
not
hear
a
number.
Billion, but that's still a lot.
I didn't hear a number between 5 and 25. Amazon was 12,000. Okay, our next quiz question is a head-to-head challenge, and I'm going to need two people to volunteer to come on stage. I will give you the topic first. There is also a prize.
It's a really good prize.
So
it is $1 billion.
The topic is the L train. So who wants to come on stage? No, we're not going
to. Not a lot of people from Williamsburg here. We heard a lot of groaning.
L train. Okay, right here and right here. Come on up.
Our son is in the audience and he was raising his hand, but we did not pick him, unfortunately. Sorry, Charles. You might have looked at the sheet. We don't know. You might know.
What is your name?
Dana.
And what
Please
is your
welcome
name?
Dana.
And Alana.
Okay, here's the challenge. Who can name the most L train stops? And we will do this back and forth. Okay, so Dana will go first, then Alana, and whoever can name the most wins. Okay, so we cannot repeat a stop. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rockaway Parkway.
Rockaway Parkway is correct.
Hudson Yards.
I think that is incorrect. So, all right.
Okay, name another.
No, it's probably not my most expert
thing. Is there anyone else who's like, I could win this and I would get my right here. Give it up for Alana for being brave.
Alana, when I'm on the L train, I'm usually drunk and not paying attention, so I get it. Okay. All right, come on, what's your name?
Don.
Okay, Don.
Don has an advantage. She knew so we're gonna start with Rockaway Parkway.
Okay.
And now it's on you.
8th Avenue,
start of the line.
That's.
Union Square?
Union Square, correct.
6th Avenue.
6th Avenue, correct.
3rd Avenue,
correct.
1st Avenue.
We're going down the line.
Bedford Avenue
is correct.
Livonia Avenue.
Oh, wow, that is correct.
Oh, wow.
That is correct.
105th Street
is correct, East 105.
Broadway Junction.
Broadway Junction, correct.
Nevin Street.
I'm not seeing Nevin Street.
Oh,
so
Nevin.
For the win.
Don.
Halsey Street.
Halsey Street is correct. All right, get out for you. Okay. So, Dana, you're not going away empty-handed because there is a consolation prize, which is an unopened pack of Desert Storm trading cards. There could be a Schwarzkopf in there, an H.W. Bush, and your prize is 2 tickets to our next show. So give it up for Dan, Don and Dana. Don, just follow us on Instagram, @NIMBY_show. Send us a DM, and we'll remember you, Don, and we'll put you down for our next show. And everybody, follow us on Instagram, @NIMBY_show.
I mean, I would love to see, like, what most people, when they fall asleep when they're drinking on the subway, where they wake up. Like, what they're, you know, like, because I don't know if I've ever gone to half of those stops on the L.
Okay, so I actually, this was going to be a tiebreaker question, but I'll ask the audience. The Livonia Avenue stop, which Don mentioned, provides a free walking transfer to what stop on the 3 train? That's right, Junius Street. We got a smart, transit-oriented audience tonight.
We need to get more Desert Storm trading cards.
Okay.
Pass out.
So, last announcement before we bring our panel out. Mark your calendars for our next show, which is Thursday, June 25 at 7 p.m. right here at the UCB Theater. On the panel, we have comedian Jay Cornell and Sarah Goodyear from The War on Cars. So, that's going to be a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
More
really
guests
excited
to be announced.
About it. More transit topics. Woo! And other things as well. All right, are we ready to bring out our panel? Can we
Let's
get some panel music up?
Okay, he's the editor-in-chief of Streets Blog NYC, and he just located his shoulder playing hockey 5 days ago. Please welcome Gersh Gunsberg.
He's the executive director of Transportation Alternatives and a 13-time UCB cage match champion. Please welcome Ben Furness.
She's the executive director of the Writers Alliance. Please welcome Betsy Baum.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited you guys are here. Thank you so much. All right, we want to kick off this really hard-hitting journalistic question. How did you all get to the theater today? What was your mode of transportation? Betsy, we'll start with you.
Escalade?
No, I took the. I was like, where's the escalator that comes here?
I took the F to the L.
Nice. Okay.
N to the legs.
I city biked from our lower Manhattan office,
nice.
Baby.
Must be nice.
It was nice.
Charlie and I.
Great program.
We took the train. Normally we bike, but we took the train today.
Yeah, our child is with us here tonight, and he's an excellent biker, but we decided to all take the Q train together as a family.
Yeah.
He's a young
Shout
kid
out Q train!
He likes when we curse, by the way. I like him.
All right, I want to talk about Mayor Mamdani's streets. Mayor Mamdani and his Department of Transportation have been on a roll with new projects getting announced on a weekly basis. Projects the mayor says will make New York City streets the envy of the world. This spring, we've seen announcements of a transformation of Brooklyn's Grand Army Plaza, an extended sidewalk and wider bike lane on 9th Avenue from 50th to 34th, a wider bike lane on 6th Avenue from 14th to 35th, new two-way bike lanes on 72nd Street and Lafayette Street, an offset bus lane on Fordham Road in the Bronx, a new bus lane on Linden Boulevard in East New York, bike lanes on 31st Street in Astoria, and many more things I don't have time to mention, including putting a park back in Park Avenue. And he's putting his money where his mouth is. Mamdani just announced that he's earmarked more than $200 million in new funding in his executive budgets for bus lanes, bike lanes, and public realm projects over the next 4 years. My question, are we about to see the biggest changes to our streets since Jeanette Sadiq Khan started this revolution 20 years ago?
You better take that.
I think the Mamdani administration is on an incredible roll. And I think they've got a long way to go before our streets are truly the envy of the world. I think people who are 6, people who are 60, people who are 80 should be able to feel comfortable hopping on a bike to get around the streets of our city. Parents should be able to let their kid walk to school without getting worried that they'll get hit by a car. This is true in cities all across the world, and it could be true here in New York, and that's what TA fights for every single day.
You know, I've heard him say envy of the world so many times, and I like the mayor, don't get me wrong, and I like the DOT commissioner, but sometimes I just want to say, have you been to the world? Like, seriously, we are nowhere near, the list you just named, I was going to say, oh, I'm going to do the improv thing, yes and? Like, where's the rest of it? Sorry to...
To be fair, a lot of it is just things that Adam said he was going to do and then stalled and didn't do. Yes. So that's the low-hanging fruit first. Betsy, what do you think?
I think what is nice is these issues that we work on, and I think many people care here, are not being treated as like these niche issues that a bunch of transplants want, but actually just like what New York needs to be a livable city, maybe someday the envy of the world, but like we should all have this. But I think to Gersh's point, it has to all work. Like, the revolution only comes when it's easier to get where you need to go and you feel safer having your 10-year-old walk to school. Then we'll be maybe part of the world.
Well, but then meanwhile, the rest of the world keeps doing what the rest of the world's been doing, so then we have to be the envy of the world 10 years later. So.
I love, though, that he's doing all this and we're all like, yeah, not enough. We want more. But which is true. Like, that's how it should be. You shouldn't be like, great, I got a little scrap. I'm happy. So I love that. I love that we're all wanting more. Gotham has recently posted a story that asked, is Mamdani New York City's first real bike mayor after the mayor completed the five borough bike tour, 40 miles, wearing a tie, no less. I kept looking at that. I was like, did he wear that suit the whole time? But he did. What does it mean for the mayor to have a mayor? What does it mean for the city to have a mayor who bikes for transportation?
I think it's unbelievable. I think when you get on a bike, the street feels totally different than when you're on any other mode of transportation. And sometimes how I talk about transportation alternatives, you know, we're more of a 50-year-old organization. It was started by people who biked around New York City. We continue to be the premier bicycle advocacy organization. But something I sometimes say is that we see the streets the way a bicyclist sees the streets. So we see how strangely the space is allocated. We see how dangerous it is. We see how frustrating it can be when traffic is prioritized over people who are strolling around. And having a mayor who is just on the back of a bike and sort of sees the streets in a similar way, it doesn't make the politics all of a sudden easy. It doesn't make the budget all of a sudden easy. But it just means that at the very top of New York City government, there's someone who sort of gets it and sort of sees that there's a way that our streets are dangerous now and could be so much better.
I mean, it's safe to point out that every mayor has said he's the bus mayor, including your former boss,
Bill de Blasio,
who rode a bike once or twice. He famously
rode a stationary bike at the gym.
Famously.
In fact, he might have had more miles on that bike than Mamdani has biking at points.
The difference with Mamdani is he actually, like, he is riding. The other day, you know, he was on the West Side Highway, and somebody got in a crash, and he helped the guy in the crash. So that... Right there shows that the guy knows, you know, how dangerous it can be on the streets and is going to do something about it. And as you well know, he's also the bus mayor, really, in a profound way. Like, he knows where the traffic is. He knows why cars are, you know, fucking everything up. Is Charlie out there? I just cursed.
We're still waiting for him to do a bit more to deserve and earn the bus mayor title.
True, but he rides the bus.
I've just seen him lately on a bus.
Well, I saw him have a press conference on a bus.
Stationary in a depot?
It was in the depot. But the pictures were great. I mean, the pictures were
I just picked up two sweaty kids playing baseball.
Say no more.
Yeah, exactly. And over on the west side, my kids were at a baseball camp, and I picked them up. And
You're 40.
So they had their baseball bats, all their gear. I was sweating. I had a bag from Trader Joe's. I was like, where is the fucking bus? Like, why up the West Side Highway is there not a dedicated bus lane? There's so many kids getting out. You have all this gear. You know, you get why people take cabs. They're like, I cannot do this. It's too much. I had to walk 10 minutes to the one train, get off the one train. We live closer to the West Side Highway on the, you know, so I had to go backtrack. Anyway, guys, where's that bus? I guarantee you people
have
that.
Transit. Like, yeah. You have enough room.
Yeah, that would be great. Anything would be great.
I want to say, in fairness to Bill de Blasio, he was too tall for City Bike. Did you guys ever
see Bill de Blasio?
The one time he rode a City Bike for cameras, I mean, the man was like, what was he, 6'7"?
He's just in the front row, someone went.
I can tell you're the father of a 10-year-old because the two numbers that came into your head were 6'7".
Guys, we're not doing 6'7" anymore, right?
Charles, well, that's
we have
our
a middle
audience,
school kid here. Is that still cool?
People still say it.
People still say it. Okay. All right.
You know, there's a bike room at Gracie Mansion. You know, he could get his own bike.
No, yes. He, all right, so I want to talk.
Well, your son's a heckler.
I made the mistake of bringing him into the conversation.
He got no confidence from us.
So I want to talk about the bike lash to all of this. If we get a photo number one up, please, Seamus. So all these changes have brought out next level bike lash from the small but vocal minority of motorists in the city. From Slovakia truck owners in Astoria to shoe store proprietors in the Upper West Side, people are losing their mind over modest reductions in parking. And I want to take a look at this photo from a rally in the Upper West Side earlier this month. These are the people that are against the 72nd Street bike lane.
For our listeners at home, there's a biker who's just plowing down an old lady and a baby. The baby seems to be unattended. Now, where's that child?
That's also
a problem already. Someone left the baby in the bike lane.
It's worth noting that the cyclist is emitting pollution.
Yeah, he's polluting the cars. The cars seem to be in his dust.
He looks like a roadie, so I think it's a gas-powered road bike is what he's on there. Yeah, and it says say no to increased danger for the elderly and disabled because all they're trying to do is put a bike lane on 72nd Street, which I think currently has 6 lanes for the movement and storage of private vehicles. So there's going to be a bus boarding island at 72nd Street. But to me, it's unbelievable the argument of the air quality is going to be worse because you're taking away lane of traffic, therefore there will be more traffic. And that's the argument there. But what do you guys make of what I like is that Mamdani has been just kind of doing it anyway. Like, my take for all these people is that elections have consequences, right? And the people that don't own cars are the biggest constituency for Mamdani. If you looked at the exit polls, it's the people that are non-car owners, that use transit, that walk, that take the bike. They're the ones that put them in office, and elections have consequences, and these people need to get over it.
The only problem with the elections have consequences line is that's how we got Trump too. So are we supposed to eat it when he does? I mean, so in fairness, like I was at that rally, and the crazy thing about the bike lash is it's the same bike lash that it was 20 years ago. You heard the same thing. Well, nobody told me. It's like, well, there was a community board meeting, and it was discussed.
Not to be ageist, but were the people 50 then and they're 70 now? New 70-year-olds?
The average age. The average age of that of people at that rally was dead. So, I mean, it was old people, and same people you've heard about at every rally you've been to.
Well, I mean, one thing I would say is, you look at some of the most transformative campaigns in transportation alternatives past, in this movement's past. The very first protected bike lane, which improved safety on 9th Avenue in Manhattan for all users, for people who are driving, for people who are walking, for people who are biking, getting the cars out of Central Park and Prospect Park, congestion pricing, bike share. Every time you sort of see this tiptoe towards transformation on the streets, you have a huge wave of people who say not just that this will be bad, but this will be worse than the status quo. You know, it'll make things more dangerous. And time again, we see safety increase and ways to get around be less expensive, more convenient. And this is no different, right? I think there's a huge amount of skepticism of any sort of physical change. I mean, this show is called Not in My Backyard specifically because changes to the physical environment are extremely controversial anywhere, but particularly in New York City. But one thing I will say is, like, we as activists have every obligation to make sure we're really talking for all New Yorkers and genuinely pushing for things that we know because of data, because of evidence, will actually improve the lives of people no matter how they get around. And that's what we advocate for, and that's why it takes a combination of courage and thoughtfulness to really make these changes become a reality.
And to get back to the age thing, it's the statistics show that it's the elderly who will benefit the most from the street design changes,
yeah,
and
I mean,
road diets. A
key piece of this is it shortens the crossing distances at the corners, and it just fundamentally transforms it into a much calmer, safer place to get around. Now, something I will say, and I think this comes up a lot, and something that's different, you know, 20 years ago than today, is there are a lot of different kinds of devices out there in the bike lanes, right? We have faster e-bikes, we have heavier devices. And so some of the dynamics, I think there's an element of novelty, and I think we as advocates need to be very clear-eyed about this. And we just, you know, just today we saw a terrible, just an awful, heartbreaking crash on the Queensboro Bridge between someone operating a high-speed scooter and someone biking a conventional bicycle.
Be specific about that scooter, it can go 53 miles an hour.
53 miles per hour.
This scooter that two people died this morning, it's horrible.
Awful.
Sorry to bring it up at a comedy show, but that's what happened today. But this scooter, it's advertised as a, like, wolf in sheep's clothing. It's like they use the word wolf like four times on the product page. And it can go 0 to 53 miles an hour in 3.9 seconds. And it's illegal. It's illegal to ride in New York City.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that we say, right? Bike lanes need to be safe for people on all sorts of devices. Sidewalks need to be safe for pedestrians. The streets need to be calm and orderly. People should be following the rules out there. But the rules need to be safe and easy to follow. And that means that there needs to be a safe place for everybody on the street. That means if I'm biking, I shouldn't be tempted to go on the sidewalk because there's a high quality network of safe streets and protected bike lanes for me to get around. And pedestrians are protected from people on bikes. And you know, that's precisely what the transformation on 72nd Street is all about, is to make it safer for everybody, whether you walk or bike or waiting for the bus.
One of the things I wanted to bring up was Waymo. So Waymo permits to test driverless vehicles on the streets of NYC expired last month. Do you think that driverless cars should be a part of New York City's future? Do you think that, you know, we're talking about cars not being safe, cars, you know, speeding and driving recklessly. Is this a solution in some ways, or is this going to make things worse? It is interesting because you brought up too, Ben, that we're dealing with all this technology. You know, like all of a sudden we have a scooter that can go 53 miles an hour. We have these things, so we're like catching up to setting up the streets correctly, but also keeping up with the technology. So, what do you guys think? Driverless cars?
I wanted to jump in because at Streets Plug, this was one of the most controversial topics already. Even though obviously there aren't these driverless cars, other than the ones that were tested. It's very controversial because techno-urbanists, and there's a lot of them, probably even in the crowd, obviously say that these cars will be safer than drivers because drivers, they fall asleep, they get drunk, they make mistakes, they get distracted and hit people. So that, there's no question about that. On the other side, if you unleash these autonomous vehicles all over the city, what's to stop Ben Furness from owning one and it drives him to his office, then he says, oh, go home and hang out there. That's an extra trip. Or go out to Long Island and go to Costco. There'll be a package for you. And then you have these cars making multiple trips all day long, adding vehicle miles traveled, undermining transit, causing congestion. Safer, but they'll be all over the place. And so we wrote an op-ed that basically presented these issues, and it was the most controversial thing ever.
What if they said absolutely no manned vehicles, only driverless cars?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. Well, we solved it. Write the bill up and let's do it.
Betsy, if you're a rider in a Waymo, do you qualify as being advocated for from the Riders Alliance? As a passenger in the back of a Waymo, is that a rider?
No.
Sorry.
You know, the thing that frustrates me in the transportation sector sometimes is there's this just like searching for these futuristic silver bullets that are gonna like solve everything. And like, you know, Gersh is raising like, well, here's all the things that could happen. And like, rather than using all that energy to actually fix the system that we have right now. And if we put that attention, you know, I feel that a great city bus, maybe on the West Side Highway, that's bus rapid transit, would do so much more than
it's kind of like a big Waymo, right? Like a big Waymo that could fit, like, I don't know, like,
and
you know, 100 people.
I believe in bus operators, so we sort of get into this tricky conversation, but I think the part of the conversation where we're at is we're really just focused on bus and subway riders right now.
It's funny, it's just the air train. Like, a Waymo would just be the air train, but going through the
that
city.
That huge Waymo that runs like the L train, I think, is the underground Waymo.
And I think we're all sort of dancing around this, but, like, New York City's magic is that all of us don't need to get into a car-shaped object to go about our daily lives every time we leave our house, right? We get on a train, we walk, we hop on our bike, right? And the physical proximity of all of us together with each other, that's what makes this place magical. That's what makes Manhattan, Manhattan. That's what makes the East Village, the East Village. So, like, if every one of us is getting into a car-shaped object to go from home to work, like, that's the suburbs. That's a lovely place, but it's not New York City. And, like, New York City, like, I love New York. I want to make New York the best possible version of New York, and that means we can all get around the way a lot of New Yorkers get around, which is not in a car. That's okay. It's great.
It is
it's
true. When anyone comes to visit, they're like, you just walk to go get milk?
Great.
You're like, yeah, I got exercise going to Target. There
and
you
then
go.
Whenever we visit somewhere else and we try to walk, we're the weird ones. I mean, we were in Columbus, Ohio this weekend, and we walked to a minor league baseball game, and we walked over some, you know, spaghetti overpasses.
I definitely said to Charlie, I was like, no one walks here. We don't do this. It was a little dicey, but we made it out alive.
But Betsy, getting to your thing about people trying to insert tech into everything, it makes me think of the Uber shuttle to LaGuardia. Uber created this product where you can use their app to get a large vehicle that multiple people take at the same time that has a fixed pickup point and has a fixed drop-up point. It's literally a bus. Like, the Uber shuttle is just shuttle buses.
But you could get it with your phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the only thing that's different. Betsy, while we're talking about buses and transit in general, I know the Riders Alliance has been working hard to advocate for changes to the Fair Fares program, and I want to give you a second to talk about that. Can you let us know a little bit about that campaign? And are expanded fare fares a better idea than free buses?
Well, I'll answer the latter part first and say, like, why can't riders have it all? A both end here. But Fair Fares is a really important program. And one of the things that the mayor so powerfully did during the election is center and zero in on transit affordability. Because I think for a lot of New Yorkers, and we hear this all the time, it's like, it's $3, right? And I get in a city where that's like cheaper than a cup of coffee now, it can be like, oh, it's $3. $3 is a lot of money to a lot of New Yorkers. One out of every five New Yorkers can't afford the subway and bus fare. And Fair Fares has been a big program for the poorest New Yorkers, making it so that you have half-priced transit fares. That is still not enough. If you have a full-time minimum wage job, you don't qualify for Fair Fares. And what we are really trying to do is for the people who currently qualify, make the program free, because that's what these New Yorkers really need. They're looking for jobs, they're trying to get to important medical appointments. It is so important in your life to have access to everything that transit brings and to not be locked out of the city because you can't afford the fare, but to go further than that as well and to expand the program to 300% of the federal poverty level, which, you know, does anyone know exactly what that number is? It's Hannah. It would basically be a little under $50,000 for an individual, around $100,000 for a family of four. And now we're talking about actually making transit more affordable, the bus, the subway, and paratransit. And I think this is really important to getting to free buses. If you support free buses, you can't do this and say, oh, you are only going to be able to, like, we love the bus, but if you want to get around the city, you should have the bus and the subway. You shouldn't only be able to affordably ride one mode of transit. And so including the subway and allowing New Yorkers to have the full luxury of this transit system in the city and to not be, you know, held off or stopped, you know, even if we make the buses amazing, feels very, very important to Riders Alliance. And I will say this is what we hear. You know, this is not an idea concocted in our Lower Manhattan office. This is completely an idea from the people. You know, this is one of the most popular programs that came from members of Riders Alliance that, you know, We had 80 folks on a call earlier this week. You know, these are folks going out to like church on Sunday and, you know, saying we got to support this program. But the thing I will say, and this is where free buses comes in, free buses would be a universal program. And it's really nice to have universal programs where you don't have to go through a complicated bureaucratic enrollment process, which is the requirement of basically every single benefit program in the city, state, and country. And so what we are asking for here is to make enrollment automatic. So if you have SNAP or WIC or cash assistance, yes, any of these programs, just get your Omni card in the mail. And yeah, then, like, if you don't want to use it, cool, fine, it's a free country. But yeah, you have it there and you're ready to use it.
The amount of time it takes to navigate any damn system is so crazy. I mean, they want all the forms, everything. It's a nightmare. So yeah, that's a great idea to give it out immediately. There you go.
And, yeah, and the advantage of the universal program is also that if everybody can do it, then you have more of a political buy-in, because then, like, yeah, so even if you're well-to-do or whatever, you're not going to let them take it away from you. So that there's that benefit too.
Yes. Ben, I want to talk about some open street ideas. So Mamdani Administration is partnering with the nonprofit Street Lab and sponsor Shabani Yogurt. Get it? I'm trying to get them to sponsor our show, apparently. They're going to transform 50 streets in front of schools into soccer streets where kids can have a field day in front of their school and play soccer on the street to celebrate the World Cup. Ben, how can we get more school streets year-round?
Oh, my God. So
tell me. I thought you were trying to get one at my kid's school.
I thought you were going to ask, do I like this? And I love it, but it's all existing school streets that they're just adding soccer programming to. So you're like, okay, that's not entirely true,
because I applied for my younger son's street. It's not a school street, and it looks like if the principal wants to do it, it's
going to happen. Oh, they're going to get it. Okay, yeah, that's great.
So they're going to close down a street just for this.
That's terrific.
But
Make sure they remove the parking also.
It's literally one day.
I've seen pictures of kids squeezed in between parked cars.
Well, the parked cars are the teachers at the school, so that's going to that's true. So it's going to be tough.
This is something that right now it makes it far too hard for individual school by school to do this very bespoke individual process.
Yeah, we tried to do it and it was like, okay, yeah, you could probably get the permit, but then you have to set out the, you know, all of the stuff every morning. Like, to get someone to man it, like, we tried to get the crossing guard. It was like, oh no, you can't ask the crossing guard to set up the, you know, the thing to stop the street. It's like, but what are they doing?
The crossing guard works for the NYPD.
Yeah, I know. It's like, no OT. Talking to this bureaucracy, but finding someone to man the program was...
Yeah, I mean, I think bringing the Department of Education at the, you know, at the central headquarters of DOE, making sure that there's a real template that any school and parent community that wants to can opt in. I think all of these things require a lot of often buy-in from, as Charlie said, the teachers themselves are often the folks who are parking and need vehicular access to the space in front of the school. So it can be quite controversial even within an individual school community to do this. That being said, I think it should be the default in schools all across the city, right? There's no reason why the front of every school, particularly during pickup and drop-off, but why not all day, every day, should be a place for kids and teachers in the school to expand out into the street. So we gotta get it done. And he actually said during the campaign, candidate Mamdani said he was going to have universal school streets. He was going to have a school street in front of every school.
A dream.
We actually have that on tape. We can lift that up.
Call it campaign Mamdani? Like, yeah. The other persona, Mayor Mamdani and campaign Mamdani.
Candidate Mamdani, I suppose you'd say, yeah.
So another World Cup topic I want to talk about is how much money it's going to cost to get to MetLife Stadium, which has been rebranded New York, New Jersey Stadium.
Yeah, the only World Cup thing I'm going to is the open street in front of my kid's school.
So the cost of a train ticket to the World Cup was announced at $150, later slashed to $105, then slashed to $98. There's now a lawsuit about all of this. Meanwhile, Governor Hochul has announced a $20 shuttle bus that's going to cost $6 million to run. Why is it so expensive to get to the World Cup? We all get to Taylor Swift concerts and U2 concerts and Jets and Giants games. Why is this so insane?
Because you can't walk there or bike there, right?
But you can't walk and bike to the other times when the stadium's full with other entertainment.
Touché. No, because they're soaking us, because first of all, FIFA is a corrupt organization, right? That's well known. And they have a security theater that they're going to set up in Penn Station, right? Penn Station's going to be a frozen zone for several hours before and after every game. So you say they had the Super Bowl and we had, like you said, Taylor Swift. There was no frozen zone there. They set up the security at the stadium where it belongs. So it's A, a grift, and B, we're paying for it. Wow, no applause for the grift on FIFA. FIFA's a corrupt organization. And the NYPD is bad too. Don't get me started.
I don't know, guys. 6 million to run a shuttle bus. I think we're all in the wrong business being a nonprofits that advocate for safe streets. Let's just go and run shuttle buses. Seems like that's where the money is.
But no? I think Transportation Alternatives should organize a bike ride from...
Through the tunnels?
But yeah.
It's not a bad idea.
Let's see if we can have a mass bike ride.
Critical mass.
East Rutherford, New York.
A guy from Gotham has just tried to do that. Liam Quigley tried to do that, and it was not a good experience. And he's a very tough guy.
Get it sponsored by that mass. Chili's that's right next to the stadium. You know, the Chili's bike ride.
All right, one more World Cup topic, which is... In nearly every press release for all these amazing street design changes that Mamdani is implementing that I mentioned earlier, the mayor has cited the World Cup as the motivation to do them quickly. This excellent excuse isn't going to work in a few weeks. What is the next reason the mayor can give for implementing safer streets and faster buses on a tight deadline? Can we get a bike lane on the Verrazano Bridge in time for Taylor Swift's wedding in July?
Or the 250th anniversary of July 4th.
That's all right.
So maybe we could use that.
But it's just, I've been laughing for months about this because I just don't know why we need a two-way bike lane at Lafayette Street in time for the World Cup. Like, I want a two-way bike lane at Lafayette Street for the rest of my life to bike from Union Square to the Brooklyn Bridge, but I don't think that tourists from Senegal are going to be using the two-way bike
lane. And also, there's pedestrian expansions around Union Square.
Envy of the world. Senegal is
envy
in the world.
Of the world. It's because when those people come to visit, they got to look around, and if they see Lafayette Street, they're like, it's only one way? What is this garbage? It's garbage.
Back in Dakar.
I got this back in Dakar, exactly.
I think it's been a wonderful excuse, and Mayor Anne Hidalgo of Paris used the Olympics as a great excuse to completely transform that place. I'm just worried that the excuse is running out.
I think Taylor Swift's wedding is perfect. I say yes.
But
yes.
You've missed out on the key controversy here related to the World Cup, and that's how the NYPD, not to beat a drum, has basically tried to police every inch of public space. They canceled watch parties on open streets, like the Vanderbilt open street. You set up a TV screen for movies, there's not a single cop there, but suddenly you want to show the World Cup, canceled. You want to have a block party this summer. If you weren't an existing block party, canceled because the NYPD doesn't want to do it.
Taking away the viewing parties at Plaza 33 by the Garden for the Knicks.
That's right. So you know.
Soccer fans.
Yeah.
And all they do is keep upping the ticket price, so you can't enjoy it, and you also can't be outside enjoying it. So, I want to get a photo number two. So the company Joby has been testing their electric vertical takeoff helicopters in New York City. The company's PR team emphasizes how their vehicles are quiet, allegedly 65 decibels, and all electric. Are we excited about the rich people getting to JFK in 5 minutes in a less obnoxious manner?
So I will tell you, I joke with Councilmember Lincoln Ressler about this because he gets a lot of feedback of the noise of the helicopters over Brooklyn Bridge Park. But my six-year-old daughter, when she was four, we would go to Brooklyn Bridge Park, and I was like, Lincoln, there is none of your constituents are as excited about these helicopters as my four-year-old daughter. Because those helicopters, she would be so excited. I think if they're a lot quieter, it's an improvement on the status quo. That's what I would say.
The status quo is the subway and the bus to the airport. It's really not a big deal, right? Is it a big deal?
It is a big deal for us. We live in Hell's Kitchen, so you hear those things take off. Like
a lot of people are very annoyed by how noisy this is.
Helicopter noise is
huge. Helicopter noise is a big deal. I wish the solution would be to get rid of the heliports and get rid of the blade.
That is the solution. Why is that not the solution?
I think it should be. The heliport is being cut in half for a while while they're doing the gateway construction on the west side. Greenway, but I mean, these things are fancy, and I mean, I guess if you have to have a helicopter, I would rather it be 65 decibels, electric.
You're missing.
You don't have to have a helicopter.
Says the person that doesn't own their private helicopter, like me.
But if we don't have a helicopter, how can we get footage of protests from the air? Like we live not far from Times Square. Every time we hear a helicopter, it's like, I guess there's a protest.
Ben, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying that. I've heard 66 decibels described as the sound of rustling leaves.
It'll be like we moved to the suburbs. Once again, we're in the suburbs with the rustling leaves.
All right, here's another airport question as it relates to buses. Mamdani announced that he would create a bus lane between the Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue station and LaGuardia Airport, speeding up the LaGuardia link. Is this our best hope for fast transit to LaGuardia, speeding up the Q70 LaGuardia link?
Well, this is the bus project being done in time for the World Cup. And I had to ask, like, is it going to last after the World Cup? Because, like, the frame, that was the thing that confused me about the framing. Like, is this just for the World Cup?
No, it's for forever.
It's for forever.
We've got to get it done real fast before the World Cup. I will also point out that LaGuardia Airport is famously not our city's international airport. So I don't know why we're in such a hurry to get people to the domestic LaGuardia Airport. No, but Cody and I, we flew back from Ohio the other day, and we take this bus all the time. We live near the E train. We take the E out to Jackson Heights. We get on the bus, and the E gets so fast, it's express. And then you get on this bus, and this one stretch in Jackson Heights on Broadway, it's just double parked cars. Because there's the parking lane, the double parking lane, and then the other double parking lane, and then the other parking lane. And it would actually be transformative to have a real dedicated bus lane with camera enforcement here.
I know this isn't your question, but I think it's such a perfect example of why it has to be fast and free buses. That is the free bus in New York City, and it's not fast. And so this is a great example. We'll have our first fast and free bus, and we can see what it's like. And,
yeah.
You know, but from our perspective, the bus is like the best way to move people faster. It's like you can do it in time for the World Cup. You can do it. You can't build a new train to LaGuardia in time for the World Cup. Maybe if, like, the 2042 Olympics, if that is Lake Placid, like, maybe you can do one stop to somewhere. But,
you need red paint, and you need cameras, and you need to give out fines. And then that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, all the better if you say street parking is theft.
Well, also, they could really transform that station at LaGuardia and make it, like, an actual station with escalators that you can get your luggage up and down, because it's also not easy to
that's true.
Travel. Not asking for a little much.
But you know, like if you wanted to save, you had a little more money, but it is like, it's really hard. We have, you know, two kids climbing up there with your bags and we're able-bodied and, you know, it's difficult.
It's worth noting though, the stretch you're talking about is basically two or three blocks. And one would like to think that the city could accomplish such things without even putting out a press release or even announcing, just do it. Like it's two or three blocks. It's a road, just put some...
There are a lot of people that are double parked.
Yeah, you don't need any excuse.
All those people that are double parked will be really pissed.
They're going to be pissed.
But Betsy, I think you're absolutely right about efficiency, because we were waiting for the bus when we were departing, and you see how many people are on the street and how much luggage they have, and you're like, oh, well, this is going to be a fight for us to all get on this bus. And then that bus shows up, and it's one of those giant buses with like the... you know, accordion style thing. It's like two buses in one, and everybody gets on, and it's fine. It's just incredible how efficient it is. So I wish that we could make the N train go down Dittmars Boulevard and go extend all the way to LaGuardia for a one seat ride. But I think this is pretty good.
Let's hear it for the bus.
Yeah. All right. Woo! While we're on the topic of airplanes, I do want to say that Spirit Airlines. This is a transportation special, and Spirit Airlines, RIP. Has ended. We want to memorialize it. So does the panel have any good Spirit Airlines stories?
Often called the public bus of the skies.
Then it should be fast and free.
Almost free.
That sounds scary. Fast and free. With Spirit Airlines.
I do remember. Spirit,
is the spookiest airline.
Ooh, why?
I was just making a ghost joke with Spirit.
Yeah. The old LaGuardia Spirit Airlines terminal used to have like drips, you know. Now that's Newark, but the just like random ghost drips of water. I'd be drinking. The only thing that they had there was Dunkin' Donuts, and it was a little kiosk. And you'd be like, I guess I'm having a donut for dinner. I don't know. And then it would just drip water on it.
You have a lot of fond memories of Spirit Airlines.
I miss Spirit because when I was younger and I didn't have a lot of money, you could fly places. There is a need for that. You could put on a backpack, go see friends. Like, you really could travel. We make fun of it, but I think it's a huge loss in the transportation and
we were $9 Fair Club members, which is was their loyalty program. But yeah, it was. I have to say,
I was like, we were. I didn't.
No one else in this room was a member because no recognition applause for the $9 Fair Club.
Did you get to choose where you went, or you just had to go wherever?
$9. We flew.
It's a mystery. We'll see.
Our family flew to San Juan, Puerto Rico for winter break this year. And the tickets were like $200. I mean, it was nice. I have family in South Carolina. We fly to Myrtle Beach to visit them. And yeah, I mean, we definitely.
Florida, my parents are in Florida.
Florida,
I mean, you know,
yeah.
Look, guys, yeah. They're going to all the red states. That's where it went. And now we're just never going to go to a red state.
But you had to know how to play the game. You had to wear a bag, no carry-on luggage, right? Unless you want to.
Oh yeah, you have to have a Spirit Airlines specifically. They had a very specific baggage thing, and you knew it, and you'd be like, it has to be exactly, and they would check.
Yeah.
If it was too big, you're paying.
When we had babies, we would sometimes like pretend things were baby items because those could get on for free.
You guys are really getting a glimpse into our relationship.
I was about to say.
$9 Fair Club, pretending that we had a baby apparently to.
No, not like, pretending we have a baby.
Like it's a baby.
Putting some extra luggage in, you know, the crib bag.
More transit.
Yes, more transit.
All right, we're gonna talk about Penn Station. Amtrak recently announced it is. We're going to get photo number 3 up, Seamus. Amtrak recently announced it has selected the master developer to oversee the redesign and reconstruction of Penn Station. The plan does not move Madison Square Garden, though it does remove the theater at MSG in order to create a light-filled entrance to the station on 8th Avenue. Former Road Rules All-Stars cast member Sean Duffy is also the Secretary of Transportation. Says that the federal government will spend $8 billion on the project. Amtrak officials said the plan will expand capacity by doing at least some limited through running for anti-transit and Long Island Railroad, allowing them to go through Penn Station without stopping and turning around. What does the panel think of the design, and how many days away do you think we are from the announcement that it will be called Trump Station?
Well, first of all, everything you said in there was a lie. And I don't blame you, because that's how it's been reported in the press. But the federal government is not going to spend $8 billion on this. You and your fellow taxpayers of New York and other train users are going to be paying $8 billion for this station. It is so obvious that the grift is on. Vornado, which is run by Steve Roth, who's a friend of the president, and his pals in Congress, sorry to bring it down a little bit, but his pals in Congress have there's a provision in the new surface transportation bill that will allow Amtrak to seize property around Penn Station to make this all profitable, and that will allow Steve Roth to build whatever he wants, which is fine. I'm not an NIMBY. Yes, in my backyard, build. But the tax money will not go to New York, where it belongs. It'll go to Amtrak and the Penn Station and Stephen Roth.
So they're going to build a bunch of towers all around it, and then they're going to get tax incentives that are going to go towards.
Yeah, the that tax money would go to New York City and New York State coffers, and it won't. It'll go to build Trump Station.
Right.
And the renderings did, in fact, show a presidential seal. I don't know if you have that one, but
the
presidential seal just inside the front door. So,
yeah.
I mean, hopefully it'll take more than 4 years to build, so maybe it won't be President Trump.
All right, here's a question: if they did actually give $8 billion and not real estate tax chicanery. If they did give us $8 billion and we got a beautiful Penn Station, maybe a little less gold than the renderings, would you accept Trump's name on it in exchange for this beautiful station?
I mean, it's pretty inevitable something's going to... I mean, he is the president, right? I mean, something's going to have his name on it. I mean, he got to fly
There's
through Reagan National.
There's plenty of stuff with his name on it already.
Yeah, he's got an airport in Florida, Palm Beach Airport. He's got the Kennedy Center has his name on it.
Nobody accepts that.
There's literally Trump Tower like a couple blocks away. It's like we already have his name on all sorts of stuff.
I would take the deal because I think there's going to be like an after Saddam Hussein died type movie.
You're like, pull it down. Yeah.
We're taking all of it out. Like when he first got elected, all those condos on near Riverside Park took Trump off the name.
And the golf course.
That when he dies or when he is out of office, whichever comes first, that we will
take
his name. Tear down this thing that
we're going to keep the station up, but take his name off.
I want to talk about the Mamdani administration announced last week it recovered more than $9 million in unpaid idling fines tied to Amazon Delivery Network a day after its billionaire founder, Jeff Bezos, criticized New York City's taxes
school spending, and Mamdani's approach to wealthy residents. According to the mayor's office, Amazon had the most outstanding fines under the city's idling laws. Amazon is worth $2 trillion, Mamdani said, yet it did not deign to pay the millions of dollars it racked up in unpaid fines as its trucks illegally polluted our air and forced New Yorkers to breathe in their exhaust. How did Amazon manage to rack up 9 million in tickets without paying? Was Eric Adams ignoring it? Could that be? Eric Adams, our famously non-corrupt mayor?
I think there's a couple things going on. One, I think we shouldn't forget that street parking, free street parking is theft, right? So if I'm a delivery person, it is very tough to find access to the curb so you can legally pull over and make all these deliveries that make our economy possible, that bring me diapers when my baby needs diapers. Like, delivery is an important part of our ecosystem, and we need to make sure our curbs reflect that and there's a proper place to do it. Obviously, people need to pay their fines. That's the rules right now. If people are racking up fines, they should pay their fines. It's totally unacceptable. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that, like, there aren't enough neighborhood delivery zones. There aren't enough delivery zones all across the streets in this city. And we need to make it easier for people to have goods brought to them so all of us aren't getting into cars, driving out to get the goods and bringing it back. It's actually, you know, it takes cars off the road to have people bring stuff around to us.
But to answer your question, there was a great deal of corruption on that program. And
What? Shocking. Yeah, shocked.
It's this program, they call it Billy Never Idles, because Billy Idol was the public face of it for a while, which was a hilarious press conference.
So I worked in City Hall when Billy Idol came, and it was in like February 20th of 2020. And we referred to Billy Idol Day as like the last normal day.
It was not
Billy
normal.
Idol was the one responsible
it's
for
literally
the COVID pandemic?
Like,
it
was this beautiful day. All of us were in City Hall Plaza and we were all chanting, Billy never idles, Billy never idles. Billy Idol was there. We were all wearing like jean jackets. It was ludicrous.
It was the least normal day
ever. It was the least normal day. And in retrospect, it was the last normal day.
Billy Idol was fantastic.
It was so good.
He did the snarl and he said, Billy never idles. And then later on, we pulled him aside. The reporter's like, you idle, right? Like, and he admits he idles. You know, so that was great.
Of course, Billy idles.
The thing is, the program allows you to track commercial vehicles, and if you see them idling for 3 minutes, and you film it, and you have the right tracker on your phone, you get a quarter of the fine. But the problem is the Adams administration didn't really like the program, right? And they've been trying to undermine it in many different ways, and that's one of the ways they undermine it.
And there's individuals that made six figures a year reporting this, right? Yeah, which...
I mean, some of them get paid because they file so many of these things. I don't know about six figures. I think that's a bit of an exaggeration.
There might be a New York Post online. But, okay, someone here says it's not because they probably have at least one of those people here. But, I mean, I love, like, there was... I don't know why...
They represented them when Amazon beat them up.
But you know, there was talk of being able to a similar program for illegal parking, and the day that we finally intro 11 or whatever, the day that we finally get that passed, I'm just full time gonna bike around and take photos of cars and bike lanes because I will be a rich man. One other bus topic, I want to talk about Ordinary Bus. I don't know if you guys heard of this new bus, Ordinary, which is a vegan affordable skincare brand, announced that it's launching an Ordinary Bus, a free route running directly between Domino Park in Williamsburg and Prospect Park. Per its website, the bus is intended to replace a 50-plus minute subway route between the two parks that requires going into Manhattan with a nonstop north-south bus route that's open to everyone and is completely free. The announcement said, Ordinary believes that quality should be accessible, clear in its function, straightforward in its use, and available to anyone who needs it. That principle doesn't stop at skincare. Infrastructure shapes how people move through their day.
Wow, it's working. It's working.
Unfortunately, the bus will only exist for 2 weeks. Should we get corporate sponsorship routes for free buses all over the city? Should we get a DraftKings Express bus to LaGuardia Airport? Opinions on the. I will say that Danny Perlstein of the Riders Alliance spokesperson, friend of the show, Danny Perlstein said, respectfully, this is a bit like the Hampton Jitney of Brooklyn, connecting two of the wealthiest, most visited areas of the world's most fabulous borough. He then went on to advocate for Fair Fares expansion.
That's our man.
Good guy.
But I think my take on this is I think that it is great that it is now like a cool, trendy, vegan skincare brand thing to do, to have free buses. Like, we are winning this culture war if branded content is now buses.
I'm curious, is the PR person for The Ordinary in this audience? Because it seems like someone was like, I have an idea, a bus. And yeah, I know what you're thinking, how's that relating to skincare? But let me wrap it up for you. And they're like, yes. Yes, Trish, that sounds great. I love it. We're doing it.
Well, it worked because people have been talking about it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's a bus that connects two neighborhoods that are already connected. You can take the G train from Greenpoint through Williamsburg right to Prospect Park. So, but people are using it.
It's a little bit of a walk from
It's a little 7th Avenue. You got to walk all the way out. No,
on both ends.
I don't know. I got on the G train at the Prospect Park station. It's right there. Yeah.
I have Ordinary Skin lotion, by the way.
They make a great caffeine under eye thing.
Yeah,
I do support that.
Well, sure. I have a like barrier $5. Treatment before I put on my other lotions
it's
and
working.
Potions.
I'm sorry, I'm very ignorant, but it just occurred to me, does most lotion have meat in it?
animal
products?
Animal testing and things like that, and honey is not.
But there, it's vegan skincare. Does that mean it doesn't have... Like,
it does not test it on animals.
It's so just... It's for vegans.
Okay. Yeah. It's not that, like...
Usually, I just cover my face in beef tallow, but...
That is not...
Now,
you have a glow.
I'm using...
You
yeah,
have
yeah.
a glow.
Everyone's like, oh, is she 46 or is she, you know, younger?
I thought you had fries over there.
Yeah, I just cover my face in French fries from McDonald's.
If we can get photo number 4 up, Seamus, I want to talk about secure bike parking. The DOT announced the creation of 500 secure bike parking locations. Officials say that many New Yorkers don't ride simply because they don't have a safe place to store their bikes, especially heavier e-bikes or cargo models that aren't necessarily possible to drag upstairs. This would be a membership-based program where cyclists would pay monthly fees to use the facility. In addition to these long-term storage sheds at the curb on residential streets, the DOT will also roll out short-term secure bike parking in public plazas. Question. Is space for 10 bikes worth it if it removes one parking space?
I'm going to say yes.
Controversial.
This is based on an incredibly successful pilot. When we talk about envy of the world, right? In London, there are, on almost every residential block in many, many parts of London, there are these bike hangers. And you have a lot of people who live in smaller apartments, don't have an easy place to schlep their bike up and down the stairs. They have a space out on the street. It's unbelievably conducive to encouraging more people to get around. It makes it so much more convenient for so many folks to use a bike to get around. When TA actually did some surveys about why people bike and don't bike. And the first reason that people don't bike, these are bike curious people. So there's hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers would love to bike.
Bike curious.
If you're bike curious, you're wary, but you're excited. If it were a lot safer to do. And if you had a place to store, so about 3/4 of people don't bike because they don't feel safe enough to bike, but they would absolutely love to bike if they felt safer doing it. And the other 1/4 of people who don't bike but would love to are the people who don't have a place to store it in their apartment. And so like that is one of the key reasons, and we think it would unlock a lot of people who really want to bike. We're not talking about convincing people who don't want to. We're talking about allowing people who would love to do this if we had this program all across New York.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, when I first started city biking, is when I first started biking the city is when city bike existed because it solved that problem. Like, yeah. Oh, well, I live on the 3rd floor or a 3rd floor walk-up. My roommates aren't going to allow me to have a bike in a room.
I was your roommate.
Well, before that.
I would have allowed it.
But, yeah, I mean, it would be game-changing to be able to, you know, securely park your bike in the street.
It's also annoying. Like, we have bike parking, you know, we have a back patio area for where we store bikes. In our building, but it's annoying to put them in the elevator to, you know, all that. So it's like, even if you have it in your building, it's not convenient. If it was on the street where you normally, you know, it'd be great.
It's going to do a good job for neutralizing that argument about how, well, you can't take away our parking. You know, the car drivers are like, well, we just created 10 spots of parking. We added parking. You're welcome. You know, that. But I don't know if the Mamdani administration will spin it that way, but they should.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, go to the community board and say, we want to add 20 parking spaces to every block in your neighborhood.
You're on a community board. You could use that at the community board.
Yeah, I will use that, yeah. All right, I want to talk a little bit, a couple more quick bus things. They started enforcing on the bus. So Jenna Lieber's been talking about European-style fare enforcement. And the MTA is finally expanding into this model of fare enforcement on bus routes where strap hangers use their phones or credit cards to pay can see them scanned by a civilian fare agent to prove that they paid the fare. And for a while, when this first rolled out, they were stopping the buses for like 15 minutes to do this, which is not
insane.
Not fast. Also not free. But what do we think about this kind of fare enforcement? Obviously, we're advocating for more affordable fares on the bus. But is this a way to get people to pay the fare? Should that be a priority to have these so-called eagle teams on buses? What do we think?
They have just announced at last week's MTA board meeting that they are going to, I believe, still pilot actually keeping the bus moving. And then, like, just to talk on like the merits of is this European style or not, then it might be. But right now it's like this perverted version of the DMV or something where it like stops and you're just sitting there. And again, when we think about how bus riders are so invisibilized, are on the slowest buses in America, are like feeling hopeful finally maybe that a mayor is going to care for them, but like are still waiting. And then like they've been sort of told fast and free, and then the actual experience is, oh, the bus has been pulled over for 15 minutes. And it just feels, unless we have fair fares, incredibly punitive. And so I think it has to be, like, this is the complicated thing about public policy, is they have to be married a lot of times for it to have any, like, sense. And right now, you know, we'll see if it's actually good for the bus or if it's just, like, butter.
Well, you're basically saying you want our fare evasion teams to be the envy of the world. Because if they're going to do the European style...
It's just like everything with the bus sometimes has to be agonizingly painful. And it's really, really confusing when we are trying to be the envy of the world.
It is really interesting to me that we're talking about tech, like changing everything, and then at the end of the day, it's like, we just need a person to look at the people and be like, dude, you gotta pay, and then they will. Because there is certain things that tech won't.
Well, and one other thing is the thing that also maddens many in the Riders Alliance community is that this is all going on and the MTA still refuses to turn on the readers on the back door of the bus. Like, we still don't have all the reporting, yet we have these eagle teams on. Like, the whole point of Omni, the whole point of spending all this money to put readers at the front and the back of the bus was to have all the reporting. And every month we're given another reason. For years now, the whole time I've been at Riders Alliance, which is over 6 years now, of like why it's not the right time.
Well, but you say a different reason. They always give the same reason. They don't want people to jump in the back of the bus. They don't trust people.
But that's what they're doing now.
Yeah, no, exactly. But yeah. But that's what he's always said. Janet's been saying that for years, right?
There have been other reasons, too, when they have felt that one is not landing well enough.
One last topic. I want to talk about City Bike. Councilmember Lincoln Ressler has a new bill to cap the cost of a City Bike e-trip at the cost of a subway ride and treat bike share like public transportation. The cost of City Bike has gotten out of control. Should City Bike be subsidized like transit is subsidized?
Every other bike share system in the world is paid for by a combination of public funds and user fees. And not only that, every other form of transportation in this city is paid for by a combination of user fees and taxpayer dollars. And bike share should be no different. It's way too expensive now. It's a huge missed opportunity, and we got to change the way this is structured.
The reason the City Bike is so expensive is because of Lyft. I mean, there's no question about it. Not just public subsidy. They are gouging people on the e-bikes because the e-bikes are very popular. I mean, if you've ever ridden one, they're kind of awesome.
You can show up and not be sweaty, so you can actually have somewhere to go that's important.
I mean, I like to show up sweaty, just in, you know me. But no, but even when they were required by the city to drop the speed from 18 to 15 miles an hour, so that's 3 miles an hour slower. In theory, if you take a 45-minute e-bike ride, you're now paying a significant amount more. So even when they capped the speed, they didn't lower the price. They're very popular. The vast majority of the City Bike rides are on electric bikes now, which is great. People are getting around, but it's exceptionally expensive, and they make more money on that. Now they blame. Now talk about revolving reasons. They blamed Trump's tariffs for the increases. They blamed everything. At one point, they blamed the weather. Either it was too nice or it wasn't nice enough. I don't remember, but they blamed everything for the high cost of those e-bikes.
And while the white bikes have gotten more and more popular, the blue bikes are in a horrible state of repair. sometimes you have to go, you know, 4 or 5 bikes before you get a working blue light. So they need to fix that as well. All right, guys, it's time to wrap up. I want to just ask our panelists if they have anything they would like to plug. Usually we have comedians on who have shows they want to plug, but just a quick thing you want to plug for your organization. Starting with that.
You know, this is a Riders Alliance thing, but Transportation Alternatives, we also have a membership program. If you're interested in becoming a member of Transportation Alternatives, you can do that too. But mostly...
Most people might actually already be members of both.
I bet they are.
Crossover.
I would like to plug my physical therapy. I'm starting that on Tuesday. And I really hope you'll... don't check for typos in the Streets blog for the next couple of weeks, because I'm editing with one hand, and it's not easy. Not easy. Oh, that's right. Oh, we do have a Streets Blog street fair. Sorry. Thank you, Angela. June 13th on the 31st Avenue Open Street is the Streets Blog 20th anniversary party. And I didn't found Streets Blog, so I've just been there for 8 years. But June 13th, Queens. Yeah, it's on, look at the website. It's on there. Please come.
If you believe in a fair, better New York, please go to our Instagram or Twitter. You can find it easily. And call on the mayor to expand fair fares, please.
Charlie, I would like to plug our private helicopter company called Jody, if anyone wants to sign up.
No, to plug our show, please follow at NIMBY_show on Instagram. Our next show is on Thursday, June 25th with Sarah Goodyear from The War on Cars. That's going to be a great show. We do the show every month at the UCB Theater. We want to thank the UCB for having us here. We want to thank Tyler Walker that does our theme song. I believe a lot of the Riders Alliance folks and anybody who would like to is going to go to the Bar of the Winslow across the street afterwards if you want to be social with other soldiers in The War on Cars. And in the meantime, Cody, we'd like to remind everyone
to vote in midterm elections.
Thanks, everybody.
Everything's wrong with the universe. Accepting change is hard. Everything's bad and it's getting worse.
Thank you so much for coming to UCB New York. We ask that you please safely exit the theater. We've got another show coming right up.